He was a provincial cup champion on the footy field, dominated the Ironman claimers, and now is a Group 1 tipster. His name is David Gately, or Gator to his mates. So let's welcome in Gator for Racing Rewind on RSN Central.
Yes, David Gately joins me. Morning, Gator.
Morning, Scotty. How are you going?
Oh, I'm very well. Actually, I've got something I should ask some advice from you. You'll giggle this because I know you're a great runner of renowned note. The Melbourne Marathon's next week. I've been sucked into a 5K-er and I've had about 2.5 weeks prep, Gator.
Yeah. What thoughts? 5K, I wouldn't even turn my head for 5K. But no, look, it's good. It's all relative. We've got to start somewhere. So, mate, you're ahead of about 96% of the population who will still be in bed.
Well, we'll talk next week on how I go. What's your next endurance event, can I ask?
I'll probably do the Melbourne Half Ironman. It's about November 13, so it's the end of Cup Week, so not the ideal prep, but, because, you know, there's no sleep that week for us, but
exactly.
I'll probably do that race if the body holds up.
Not exactly tapering there that week. Perfect. Now, Gator, I lay in on the couch because, like most of us, we were a bit exhausted after watching Geelong walk through a grand final, and that racing at Sandown was sensational.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a bit of a feast over the weekend, wasn't it? Obviously, the Valley Friday night was terrific racing. The Golden Rose and the Rosehill meeting, exceptional. And then, as you referenced, we thought we could get a breather, but no, the racing on Sunday was fabulous. And the Group 1 contest itself didn't quite go to script. I think a lot of us thought Alligator Blood at the end of 1800, you know, they'll probably be a little bit stronger than him, but he just kept running, didn't he? And, you know, he shook off a good one in Zaki. He was only second up. You know, Thunderstruck, the big money came for him. Look, he was good, but I think he just lost it around the turn and they straightened. Those leaders put a couple of lengths on him. I think that was the difference, but I don't think he lost any admirers aiming up at 2,000 metres for a Cox play.
Well, let's nail down looking ahead. Let's put our Cox Plate hat on. Alligator Blood, like you said, we weren't sure if it could get the 18. What about 2,000 at the Valley? Obviously, it's going to be in front. What are you more confident than you were?
Yes, more confident than what I was before the race on Sunday. But still, it's another step, you know. It's like you going out to 10K next year. It's another test of endurance for Alligator, but look, he was a really strong winner, so I think if I was in that camp and had my early money on, I wouldn't be deterred, but it's still another bridge he has to cross. Zaki, I think, will be fitter. You know how strong he is at 2,000 metres. Even Moonga picked up and hit the line, and then Thunderstruck, who he's really only been at the trip once, and now he didn't finish it off that day, but that was that bottomless track, wasn't it, the Queen Elizabeth, so I'm not sure that was any great guide for him.
So is there some little doubt? Like, we know Zaki will run the trip, and like you mentioned, third up, you'd think better. Thunderstruck, is there a something in the back of your mind about the 2,000 at the Cox Plate?
Oh, look, it has to be until he does it. I mean, everything about the way he hit the line on Saturday, it says that he'll be strong. But until they do it, you know, it's some guesswork involved. It's, you know, we have to use our, you know, inverted commas, educated guess. So, similar to Alligator Blood, I wouldn't be overly worried, but it's still something that a box that has to be ticked.
And Mr. Brightside, who we know has been in form, won devastatingly in the Valley. Did it get shown up, or do we give one free pass?
Look, he didn't run poorly. It depends what your expectation was. I think, look, I had him third or fourth pick, I think, thinking that I'm Thunderstruck and Zaki will just be better than him. And every time they've raced at weight for age, that's been the case. The time that Mr. Brightside beat Thunderstruck was a handicap on very wet ground. He had the last crack at him and had 5 kilos less. So, you know, I know some people don't think weights matter, but they do. Spoiler alert, science is a real thing. So, I think that they're just better than him at weight for age. he couldn't have had a better run in transit, I don't think. So, yeah, that's the way I've summed him up.
So the betting now, Animo's $3, Zaki's drifted out to $6, Alligator Blood $7, I'm Thundersuck $8. Well, what's your top three pecking order now? And obviously you've got time to change if you want to, but if I asked you right now, where are you? Where's your head at?
Yeah, look, I think, I said before the race on Sunday that it's Zaki's mantle, really, until they take it off him. Now, they beat him yesterday, so that's fair enough. You know, but he crossed the line with Moonga. He's a better horse than Moonga. You know, Moonga was okay in last year's Cox Plate, but safely held. Animo had him covered. And then Zaki had Moonga covered in the McKinnon. You know, he's just a better horse. I think Animo's the one that's still on that upward trajectory. So $3, I think, is a bit thin. I don't think he's a $3 chance compared to Zaki $6. I'll answer the question this way. If you gave me a 300, it'd be on Zaki at $6 over Animo at $3.
Oh, I like that. Now, there was a couple of other eye-catching runs. Now, take me through I Wish I Win. Will it go to the Turak, or where's it going to head? Because that was some win and some ride from Luke Nolan.
No, it was a terrific win. And, you know, certainly a really good ride. I tipped Ayrton to beat him on Sunday. I know, in the back of my mind, is can he give this up and come away and beat him? And my theory was, I Wish I Win's coming back 100 metres. You know, second up, he comes through a fast run race first up, which he relished. He won't get that same tempo. Now, everything that I preempted came to fruition. You know, he didn't quicken at the key point of the race. And I thought, I've got this one right. but then once he got through, he was terrific, running over a really good horse in Ayrton, albeit with a weight advantage. So he'll step back up in trip now and, you know, be highly competitive, I would have thought, if they head to the track. Look, there's plenty of other options if they don't want to back him up that quickly. But a lot to like about the win. A, the scalp he took. B, the fact he was second up coming back in trip. And his strength late in the race.
What about, I mean, Cox Plate? Is that a pipe dream or is that too far?
Well, I think this is probably the year.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no state of rest. There's no Liz Grisheur, no sort of international superstar, is there? So if Animo is your one to beat, with great respect to him and Zaki, it's a winnable race.
Yeah. And then Gentleman Roy won the last. And when talking about the Turak, I mean, the Hayes boys are keen to get it in. I mean, that was... It's building a fairly solid record.
Yeah, no, he's a really good horse. You know, he runs time from the front. There's no bad luck in his racing, although when I Wish I Win beat him, you know, he was driven mad in the lead. He was terrorised by another horse who dropped out and ran last. He somehow ran second. It was an enormous run. The query was, could he back up? You know, I'm just trying to picture you doing a 5K the next week after a 5K. And I'm just struggling to see how you'd back up. But he backed up really strongly. He beat a really good field. I'm a fan of Military Expert. I'm a fan of Pinstriped. Now, they beat Dragon Leap clearly into fourth. That horse had just crossed the line with some, you know, Group 1 horses in a Memsie, a weight for age. So you don't have to look too hard to make a really good case that he can measure up. The next bridge for him, of course, is weight for age. There's nowhere to hide when you get to the elite Group 1 races.
But the Turak, like we mentioned, it's going to be a pretty interesting wide-open affair with, you know, like you said, there'll be some elite on paces and some good horses who like to settle back.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the, you know, I think one thing our jurisdiction, our racing has over many around the world is these feature handicaps. You know, I think there's a lot of envy from a lot of parts of the world. You've got to have your weight for ages and your set weights. It's a must. But this sort of racing, like, you know, a Melbourne Cup, a Turak, a Rupert Clark, a Doncaster, they have this aspect of handicap racing. So it sort of brings them all, together ability-wise.
Now, I'm getting some text messages. Jack and O, obviously in Sydney. We've got Ballarat coming up. But just quickly, where do you think they'll go next with Jack and O?
Well, what I'm hearing is he might go to an Everest back at 1,200. So, look, he was a very good winner. If he can get Nature Strip beaten, that race is wide open. So I can see what they're thinking. But back to 1,200, it'd be a little query in my very humble.
How did his figures stack up from Saturday?
Very, very good.
Yeah.
He ran 11:10 last 200. It was the second quickest of any horse all day. at the end of a truly run 1400-meter race, and he's a new season three-year-old. I didn't see many horses swoop and win on the day. He was one of two. An outstanding win, and you know, I was keen on In Secret. The winner was just better.
Welcome back to RSN Central. We've got the great David Gately on the line. Gator, you have football fans on the SMS. Can you please ask Gator about how happy he is that Geelong won the premiership? I know he has so much love for our club. Please explain.
Oh, no. I think what I've always said was that hatred is a form of respect. So I think that as a Richmond man, I would much rather be hated by the opposition than be their second team. Because that means you've been successful. So, no, look, the best team won. There's no two ways about that. You know, I had my dollars financially, or certainly invested in Sydney. They gave me a great run for my money, but fell spectacularly at the last hurdle.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, speaking of falling at the last hurdle, Espiona, where are we at? Fourth on Saturday. I've loved it probably as much as you. What's our theory now?
So, look, she's still ironing out her racing manners, I think. Now, what she is in absolutely the right stable to get that right. And I think of Very Elegant, I think of Nature Strip and a thousand others that stable have just made into world-class superstars. I think she's got that sort of talent, and I expect them to get it out of her. Her run on Saturday, I thought was really good. You know, she was back, came wide before the turn, flew home in an on-pace dominated race, in an on-pace dominated day mostly. She was fourth quickest of any horse all day home, so it's not as if she's run poorly. But I heard J-Mac get off and say, you know, I expect it even more. So there's that sort of expectation that I share with the great J-Mac. We've got one thing in common there. So I expect her to fulfil that, but I'm running out of money.
Does she need to come to Melbourne? I mean, I'm still recovering from the way she won down here. I mean, maybe is Melbourne her preferred go?
Look, may well be. You know, she still wanted to lay out a bit, didn't she, up the straight? Sort of lay in, sorry, and had her head on the side. So she was better than what she was first up, but still not gun barrel straight, not racing 100% tractably and truly, which you need to do at the elite level. You know, if you've got chinks in your armour, as you find out in a grand final, they find you out. And that's why she's just falling short of expectation in my very humble.
Have you got Fangirl ahead of her at the moment?
Well, I think Fangirl's on the doorstep of winning a Group 1. And Espiona, I think she's definitely got a Group 1 in her. So I'll leave that to the great C. Waller. But I think Fangirl will be more effective over the 1600. We'll see her in the Epsom on Saturday. And I'm sure if she gets a track that's okay, she'll run really well.
Another one off the SMS. Where are the horses coming from to fill the Everest slots? It looks pretty thin.
Well, yeah, there's a few saying that. And I guess that they're right. Now, if Nature Strip wasn't in it, you'd probably have them filled up already. And everyone would be thinking they're a live chance. The problem is, he's stifling betting and to some extent interest in the race, because I think what a lot of people are realising is I can go to a Manicato, not see Nature Strip, and make more money winning that than running second or third in an Everest. So, you know, the problem's always going to be with that race when you've got something like a Black Caviar or a Nature Strip. You know, there's 11 other spots and they don't all think they can win. So that's where the problem lies, I think.
We'll tie in the Moya from Friday night now, talking about the sprinters. I mean, Coolangatta, I mean, when Jamie Carr decides to get down to 50, you know something's on. What did you make of that run and where will that filly go?
Yeah, look, she was terrific, because it's not easy for a new season three-year-old to beat the older sprinters. Albeit, you know, she gets the weight advantage and she had the inside draw, which won her the race. You know, Bella Nipotina, in my humble, was clearly the best run in the race. Tracking wide against the pattern of the night, just missed. Now, Bella Nipotina is an exceptional mare, but she's not elite, I don't think, at this stage. You know, you'd find her, you know, safely held by the Nature Strips of this world. And I guess that's evidenced by the likes of Generation and Paul Alley and Maliva finishing close up, you know, relatively. So, look, a really good run from the runner-up. No knock on the winner, but runner-up, the run of the race. Race rated, you know, quite well, certainly by Group 1 standard. They ran pretty much bang on the average time. So, you know, it turned out a proper Group 1 race, but as we know, there's Group 1s and then there's Group 1s.
Yeah, so I get the sense you're a bit wary of those who finish behind the first two.
Oh, look, I think they can find their mark. It just won't be in an Everest, and it won't be against the absolute elites. There's just not many of them, so it gives them all their chance with so many races. You know, Group 1 race for sprinters, you can pick your mark and find a win, no doubt.
Now, I'll jump back to Sunday. I mean, the Caulfield Guineas is an intriguing race every year, and in a shock, a lambing-chained horse was backed off the map and won well, Bank Moore. What did you make of that yesterday?
No, look, a neat win. The times relative to the average haven't come through yet. They'll be late today or early tomorrow. So, but to the eye, a really strong win. You know, had the right run, the way the track played, but joined in quickly, won well. You know, chased a handy one prior to that in Waltzenbach, who also won on the day. So the form's lined up well. She's certainly on the upward trajectory, and good solid win without raving.
She's $15. Now, AF Cabin's still the hot favourite. Where do you sit at the minute at Caulfield Guineas wise?
Yeah, well, it depends what comes down from Sydney. What we've seen is AF Cabin, a dominant winner, 1400. He's only been there twice, and he's won them both by an aggregate margin of around 10 lengths. So it's difficult to pot what he's done. You know, it was an odd race, though, wasn't it, the other day? All those behind him probably couldn't see. So that's problematic. But he was run down by Jackano prior to that. So you don't need to be Einstein to see it's a pretty good form line.
Another off the SMS, Skater, extremely lucky. Why do they keep running him at 1,000 and at the Valley? That's from Tom.
Great question, Tom. And I don't have an answer for you because if he was mine, he wouldn't even go anywhere near the Valley. In fact, if you're playing Scrabble, I wouldn't even give him a V or a Y to make the word. So, he's a good horse, but that's not his track.
And then we've got Tim from Kilsyth. Gator, what do you think of KGB's run on Friday? It could be a very good horse, I think.
No, likeable win. Okay, Patton helped, perfectly ridden, but still very new. Like, when he left the rail and got his head up, I thought, oh, he's going to be vulnerable here. He only needed the 10th quickest last 200 of the race to hold on and win, so he was falling in a hole a bit, but he just did a lot wrong still and still beat them. So I think there's something to be excited about there.
And there's another one. What did you make of In Secret, running second?
Oh, she was terrific, you know. Yeah. She had the good run in behind them. She took a while to grab those leaders. They're not slouches, but once she did, I thought she was home. She was so strong in the last 100, but then along came Jackano, who had to produce, you know, an elite last 200 to beat her. She beat everything else. You can be disappointed in the result. You know, I was, because she was my best for the day, but you can't be disappointed in the performance.
And another SMS, I mean, I fell into Buckhurst and put it in the quaddie, and this poor listener also always fall into him. What did we make of that run?
Oh, look, the jury's out. It wasn't a dynamic finale by any stretch of the imagination, so he's definitely in the need to see him again bracket.
Now, what about jockeys? I'm always intrigued as a form analyst how much weight you put into jockeys and in-form, out-of-form. I mean, we had Moods on earlier saying Luke Nolan, he's never seen him go better, and that was on evidence yesterday. And, well, Jamie Carr has, if she had to raise the bar, she's gone again over the weekend, ridden about 85 winners. How much weight do you put into who's actually steering them?
Not a lot, because I think if you've got the best horse, It's a really good place to start. In saying that, once, you know, like any athlete, once you get on a roll, you know, things start just falling your way, gaps open. You know, I remember games of footy where the ball would just bounce in between three people somehow and land in your lap, and other days you get beaten one on none. You're all on your own. You somehow don't get a kick. So it certainly is a real thing, you know, that, you know, you get in that sort of zone, you know. So I think that you certainly factor it in, but it's nowhere near the first thing I look at.
Yeah, I mean, everyone. But, I mean, with Luke Nolan, like you said, I mean, the run we saw on I Wish I Win, that's a guy who's feeling confident about life.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, the best way to answer it is with your wallet or your purse. whenever he's on a horse, I'm not steering away from a bet.
Now, looking ahead quickly to Saturday, the Turnbull Stakes, I mean, we get the footy out of the way. It's one of the great meetings. And It's a bit of a turning point for a few Caulfield Cup contenders. I will put my hand up. I'm on Inspirational Girl. Dewess is going to come down here, Gold Trip. What are you making of this meeting early doors?
Yeah, well, look, I haven't seen the noms yet, but look, it's always a strong race day, and the term was a great race. Set weights penalties, it gives them, you know, down in the weights a live chance, knocking off those at the top end. So, a great contest at one of the best tracks in the world. So, yeah, certainly exciting.
And is there anything out of the weekend, I've got another SMS, that we haven't mentioned, who you won for the Black Book?
Oh, look, probably a lot. given there were 700 races. I mean, my head's spinning going through all these replays and times and God knows what else. But, look, I was on Paul Ailey in the Moya. I think he was good, given that the 1,000 metres was just a bit sharp for him. I think there's a second-level group one in his future soon.
Beautiful go. Now, last bit of advice. What Friday night, how should I taper? What's my preparation? Do I eat pasta? What's your tricks of the trade after this marathon I'm about to run?
Yeah, no, it's a big event. I think, yeah, so just chicken and rice will do you for the night before. Don't overeat and get a good night's sleep. And, you know, if you can power through it, what's the estimated time?
Well,
we going 20...
I was going to ask you that. What's acceptable?
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? I mean...
Well, you can imagine my training regime hasn't been strong.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, so look, expectations low. You're not in the Espiona camp then. So,
no.
Mate, go and enjoy it. And as I say, if you're ahead of 96% of the world, you'll be asleep or hungover. So you're beating them.
You're a good man, Gator. I appreciate your time again. Have a good week.
Thanks, mate. Speak soon.
That was Racing Rewind with the great David Gately.